The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Such Thing as a Fish. This week, coming to you from the Literary Arena in the Latitude Festival, my name is Dan Schreiber. I'm sitting here with three other QI elves. It's Anna Chazinski, Andy Murray, and James Harkin. And once again, we've gathered around the microphones with our four favorite facts from the last 7 days. And in no particular order, here we go. And we're going to start with my fact this week. My fact this week is that the world record for horse long jump is shorter than the world record for human long jump.
That just can't even be true. That just is so obviously not true, it's unbelievable.
No, it's absolutely true. But here's the weird thing. Horse long jump? Did anyone know that existed? It was an Olympic sport for 1 year.
I have a question about the horse long jump.
Yeah.
Did they have to do it with a human on their back?
Yes.
Well, then, of course, they're going to... Like, if you put a...
Put a horse on a human's back...
That's not a fair comparison, though. You need to put... So it'd be like strapping a child to your back, maybe, or...
Okay.
Which wouldn't be allowed, I guess.
No.
But listen, horses... Okay, how many people here, just by show of hands, are surprised that humans can jump further than horses?
Yeah, pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
And when you say surprised, none of them believe you.
Okay, so this is absolutely true. You can go online to Wikipedia. So this was in the 1900s. This
you
was
and your niche sources for these facts.
So 1900 at the Olympics, they did the horse jump. The guy riding the horse was called Constant van Langhendonk. And his horse was called Extra Dry. And he jumped about 6 meters. And that's not actually the horse record. So that was just their first ever attempt at the Olympics. Everyone said, let's not do that again. Let's move on. Let's never speak about this. But the world record as it stands was set in 1975 by a horse. The horse was called something.
And what was it called?
Something. The horse was actually called something.
Right,
that was
okay.
The actual name of the horse. By Mr. Andre Ferreira, and they jumped 8.4 meters. So that's the horse record. The human record is 8.95 meters.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was set in 1991 by a guy called Mike Powell. It's still holding to this day as the longest human jump.
What about height? Can they jump? Can we jump higher than horses, or can they
no
jump
way.
Higher than us? Do you know?
Horses can go higher, I reckon.
Can they?
Yeah.
Well, I've looked it up.
Oh, really?
And there is an official high jump record for horses, and it's 2 meters 47. And the official high jump record for humans is 2 meters 45.
Oh,
so they can
so
beat us by
tiny.
2 centimeters.
Wow.
But do they know that we're asking them to jump
no,
really
exactly.
high?
Yeah.
There's the problem.
Well, there's a big fence in the way that gives a bit of a clue.
Yeah. They just don't have the like competitive urge, you know. They don't know that they need to win.
That's true.
The same way that we do.
But the thing is, with human high jump, is it there was a massive difference, wasn't there, when Dick Fosbury came in and did his Fosbury flop, which is going over backwards. And until then, the record was a certain amount, and then it went massively up in a really short amount of time. And what's interesting with him is he was he won gold in the Olympics in 1968, but by 1970, he wasn't even in the Olympic team anymore, because everyone else had seen his tactic and gone, that's amazing. And he wasn't even that good a high jumper.
Really? It's just the technique?
Yeah, just the technique. That's that was the only thing that did it. He wasn't even that good.
So long jump was almost the opposite, right? Because the long jump record, until it was broken by Mike Powell in 1991, was held for, I think, a record length of time in the Olympics. So it was broken in 1968 by Robert Beaumont. And he just did this incredible long jump. So the record up until then had been 21 feet and 3/4 inches. And then in 1968, he jumped 29 feet and 2.5 inches. And he jumped so far that they couldn't record it properly because they didn't have the equipment to stretch that far.
They didn't have the equipment to stretch that far.
Yeah. I don't know how advanced the equipment has to be in order for you to buy another 1 meter ruler to measure the extra distance.
How many feet was
that? So I think he jumped 29 feet.
Okay, the thing is with long jumps is they reckon, some people reckon, I don't know if it's true, some people reckon you could go further if you do a somersault while you're jumping.
That makes sense.
But there's a rule that says you're not allowed. The rule is very clear. It says the jumper's head has to stay in a superior position during the jump. So your head has to be always the highest point.
Wow. But why? Has someone done it and then they've gone further?
Well, they said that it was maybe due to it being dangerous. But the actual reason that they said they jumped, banned it when they did is that nobody would jump a puddle in this way. So apparently that's what we're doing with a long jump. It's just a way of jumping a puddle.
Good Olympic reasoning.
Do you want to hear something else that happened at the 1900 Olympics?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Men's underwater swimming. So start underwater and you just keep going until you have to come up. And you get a point for every second you're underwater and you get a point for every meter you swim underwater. It was never held again because of, and I quote, a lack of spectator appeal.
Actually, they're kind of bringing that back, you know, because they found that swimming underwater is quicker than swimming freestyle.
Yeah, yeah, it's called the fish kick, obviously. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the first time they found a new swimming stroke, which is faster than freestyle, the first time it's happened in hundreds of years.
Yeah, wow.
It's really cool. It's literally moving your hips really, really far and, you know, moving your arms around. You look like a fish when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another... So horse long jump has been abandoned as an Olympic sport. There's a list of other Olympic sports that we no longer do. This is my favorite one. Solo synchronized swimming. And that was for three Olympics. Wow. Just one person in a pool with music, loving it. And eventually they thought, it's just not working for us.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
That. Yeah. Another thing they had at the 1900 Olympics was, so they were really into horse events at that Olympics, I think, and they had the male coach event, which was basically who can deliver post the fastest. And it was the four-in-hand mail coach event, and it was four horses on a mail coach. And, you know, you've got your letters. And it was a race. And the guy who won it, actually, was the guy who then went on to found the Orient Express Company, weirdly. So he was the guy behind Orient Express trains.
You'll have seen some of my work in the Olympics. That's very cool. Have you heard of Margaret Abbott?
No.
She was an art student from America, right? She won, in the 1900 Olympics, she won a 9-hole golf tournament, but she didn't know it was an Olympic event. She died 55 years later, still not knowing that she was America's first female Olympic champion.
Wow.
I know! No one told her at any point.
How did she get into the Olympics then?
I don't know. There are all these sort of weird half-Olympic events. So the male coach, I think they've decided now it wasn't an Olympic event and all of this stuff. There's all this sort of kind of shadow Olympics.
And the horse high jump, I think, at that same event was decided it didn't count as an Olympic event, but the horse long jump did.
Yeah.
Because horses jumped, I think they jumped just over 6 foot at that.
Oh, did they?
So the modern Olympics, you know, it disappeared for a long time. Obviously, someone brought it back. And the person who brought it back, one of the main people, was a guy called Baron de Coubertin. So Baron de Coubertin decided when he set it up that he was going to award an Olympic gold. So someone won this in the Olympics for literature, right? So there was a whole arts category that happened with the Olympics, which they've since dropped. But so they did it in all different things. They did it in sculpture, architecture, in poetry.
But do you know who won the poetry award?
No.
He did.
Did he?
Did he?
Yeah. He was no good at sports, but he set up the Olympics, and he's like, well, how am I going to win a gold medal then? And so he set up poetry, and then he did a poem himself, and he won a gold medal.
Guys, I really, really think we should have a poetry competition in the Olympics. I know it's kind of sporty, but, you know. Yeah, it was meant to be the whole thing. 1948 was the last London Olympics before 2012. That was the last time they had architecture and... Was it sculpting?
Town planning.
Yeah. I've got the town planning.
Yeah,
there was an Olympic medal for town planning.
Yeah, but it was solo town planning. That's very important. Oh. Yeah.
There, so they also had it for painting and graphic art. So I've got the gold, silver, and bronze winners of the 1948 painting and graphic art competition. So in at bronze was a guy called Alex Diggelmann from Switzerland, who won it for his graphic art World Championship for Ice Hockey Poster. Silver was Alex Diggelmann from Switzerland for World Championship for Cycling Poster. Gold medal to no one.
Oh! That he is won a bronze, kick in the silver, face to
and
Alex
they just
Diggelmann.
Didn't award a
that
gold.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine losing to nobody?
So the Olympic art had to be art that was about Olympic sports.
Yes.
Presumably.
Everything had to be about the Olympics.
Imagine having to tell him that he won silver and he'd be really excited and he'd say, oh, that's great. I'm so made up to have won silver. Who got gold? yeah, little thing, Alex.
There is an interesting thing. They did a study of faces of people who are doing races, who do running races in the Olympics. And they could tell how happy people were by how smiley they were on the podium. And anyone who came second was much more miserable than whoever came third. They found that out. Because the people who came second presumably are really upset because they just missed out on gold.
Yeah.
And the people who came third are, well, I got something at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
You told us, okay, James told us this great thing the other day about Usain Bolt. What was that quiz question that you said about him breaking the 100 meters?
Oh, yeah, well, his fastest ever 100 meters is a lot faster than world record, and that's because the second half of his 200 meters, he'd already had a running start, and so I think he beat 9 seconds for 100 meters, Usain Bolt.
But he was already running.
He was already start. He had a start, yeah. But when he broke the 100 meters world record, he had one of his shoes untied. One of his shoelaces untied.
No way.
That's how good he is, yeah.
That would be so distracting. How did he not stop?
Well, I'm sure he wasn't looking at it the whole time going, should I deal with this?
Did he stop and tie it up?
Yeah, he still broke the record in spite of stopping to tie it up halfway through.
That would actually be double knot or...
Yeah. When he does 100 metres, his feet are touching the ground for, I think, 2 seconds in the whole race.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you want to know something else about the long jump in ancient Greece? This was so hard that you were allowed to have weights. So you held these weights and you sort of threw them behind yourself as you jumped forward. Also, the ancient Greek long jump was so tricky that you were allowed to have a flute playing so you could keep time with it as you did your jump. That was their concession. We know this is really hard, so we'll give you a flute player to make it a bit easier.
What, so the flute played a rhythm and they kind
exactly.
of...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The flute would play in time so that you could make your jump.
Wait, I feel like between flute playing and steroids, you'd probably go for the latter, wouldn't you? We understand this is hard. You can have an orchestra accompanying you. Awesome performance enhancing
drugs.
You're
going to be tested for flutes, obviously, for lyres. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
We're going to have to move on to our second fact. Does anyone have anything else before we do? Mm-mm. No?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Okay, time for our second fact, and that is Chudzinski.
Yeah, my fact is that every time Alfred Hitchcock had a cup of tea, he always smashed the teacup. That was what he did.
Always.
Well, apparently every morning he'd have his cup of tea before he went off to work, and he'd drink the tea, smash the teacup, go to work. He'd drink tea in the studio, throw teacups at the wall, and it was just his tea-drinking habit.
He sounds very difficult, doesn't he?
He's a madman. He was a madman. Someone wrote a biography recently about him saying he was doing it to remind himself of the frailty of human life. So he throws a teacup against the wall and thinks, oh, that's like me dying. But he just did it. He used to smash. So he used to punch light bulbs out quite a lot on set as well. Yeah, yeah, he did.
That's how he turned off lights. Yeah, he turned the light on and then he just punch it until it stopped giving out light. Yeah.
And actually, speaking of horses, he was really good friends with Gerald de Maurier, who was Daphne de Maurier's dad. Gerald de Maurier was an actor, and at one point, Alfred Hitchcock, while Gerald de Maurier was out on stage performing a play, Alfred Hitchcock somehow, and nobody knows how, had a horse delivered to his dressing room. So Gerald came back, you know, at the interval or whatever, while he was performing, went into his dressing room, and there was a huge horse there, and he didn't know what to do with it, and no one knows how it got there, and I don't know how he removed it.
He was a bit of a prankster, wasn't he?
He loved practical jokes. Yeah.
One of the things he used to do was he would get into a lift with a friend of his who told amazing stories, and then he would start to tell this incredible, incredible story, and then as soon as the doors opened, he would get just about to the punchline and then walk out, so yeah. Everyone else in the lift is like, no, what happens?
But he also stopped the lift just by jamming his arm into the doors and levering them open and getting out, even if it was between floors. Classic Hitch pranks.
So I think the most impressive prank... I don't know if this is impressive or if it makes him a bad person, but there was...
I know what I think already.
Yeah, but you're a bit of a prude.
Yes.
So he was... One of his employees on set one night, he said, I bet you a certain amount of money. I think it was just, I bet you a pound that you won't agree to be handcuffed to a part of this set overnight. You don't have the balls. I'm going to turn all the lights off. And so the stagehand was like, oh, a pound? Yeah, maybe it was more than a pound. It was still only the 60s. I can do that, sure. And so Alfred was like, yeah, great, fine. Have a drink to celebrate. Gave him a brandy, spiked his brandy with a lot of laxatives, handcuffed him to the set. They all went home. They came back the next day. There was a man there in tears, covered in shit, having soiled himself all over the set.
Now, do you think that makes him fun? Or do you think it maybe makes him a bad person? Call me Captain Prudy.
I'm on the fence. He did then give him a bonus.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but this is a good sort of bar of what his comedy was like. The BBC uncovered some archive interviews that they did with him recently from a while ago when he was alive. And
all the interviews after he died are so boring.
So it turns out that Psycho, the great horror, when he made it, he thought he was making a really good comedy. Absolutely true. He thought he was making a comedy, and he thought he was parodying the genre, but he did it so well, and he took it so into such an obscene territory that it got taken as a prop.
He did it so well that it wasn't funny. Is that what a stand-up comedian can say?
Yeah.
So good, no one knows.
Yeah, no. According to Hitchcock, that's what he said. Wow. Psycho was intended to be a comedy.
You know, when he first released Psycho, he bought up, or he got his PA to buy up all the copies of the novel Psycho that he could find in America because he didn't want anyone to give away the ending.
Yeah, he would do that with all of his films. He bought up the rights so you couldn't see them in the cinema after the cinema run had ended, because he only wanted people to see them in the cinema, so he would stop them from being broadcast after that. So for about 30 years, nobody saw Psycho in the cinema until after he died.
Really?
Psycho is the first film to feature a actual shot of a toilet flushing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 1960 was when it was made, and still, before then, so taboo. And it got all these terrible reviews, which were partly based on all the murders, and partly based on, I can't believe they showed a toilet flushing, this is outrageous. It had never been seen on screen before.
I like the way you say, so taboo, it had never happened before, as though, obviously, if they had been able, it had been socially appropriate to do a toilet flushing, they would have included it in all the films. There just aren't that many scenes in films where that's an appropriate thing to show.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Something else fun he did, if you went on holiday and you were friends with Alfred, he would...
He would murder you, hilariously. And then...
Give you a bonus.
If you went on holiday, he was actually completely harmless. He would just leave some extra large furniture in your house for when you returned.
He sounds so awful.
Speaking of things that were only used once, Justin Bieber never wears underpants twice.
Does he not?
I googled sort of famous people who may not use things twice, and I...
Oh, were you googling Justin Bieber, no underwear?
I discovered that the Queen is not allowed to appear in a public I guess if she's going to open a library or like, you know, launch a new Starbucks latte, she can't
appear
be
in
seen,
her underwear.
She can't be seen in the same costume that she's worn previously. So
otherwise, what happens?
Well, I think it's just they don't want it to happen, and she has a stylist who has a spreadsheet of every single bit of clothing that she's worn to an appearance, oh, and they make sure that nothing matches up, and they've given every bit of clothing code name, like Buttercup for a yellow dress.
But she's been going a long time, like the Queen, so there must be not many clothes left. She's going to be just turning up in a romper suit.
But that's the headline is always, if Kate Middleton wears an outfit twice, they say, oh, she's recycling her outfits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you never see that with the Queen because of the great spreadsheet that they've made. And so this guy, Stuart Parvin, he's the guy who for 11 years was the Queen's personal... he dressed her, he picked all the clothing. He said in this interview that she has someone employed specifically to wear her shoes before she wears them.
No way.
Yeah, so someone just wears the Queen's shoes and
just
breaks
to get them nice
in.
And sweaty.
Yeah,
so they're comfy.
Yeah, so they're comfy for when she has to wear them for the first time that she goes to a...
So the only person
event.
Who can have that job is someone who has exactly the same size and shape feet as the Queen, I guess.
Yeah.
I read the other day, I don't even know if it's true, I read that Prince Charles has his shoelaces ironed.
I've read that as well.
No,
I don't know if it might not be true, but I did read it.
Only if he buys curly shoelaces, like fun ones, which you can get as a kid.
Like curly fries. They're slightly more expensive.
Curly fries, yeah, yeah.
Tastes better.
So
yeah.
Smashing things. Should we go on to that? Smashing crockery. The Greeks do that, don't they?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, actually, they don't really do it. It's kind of discouraged in Greece these days. They prefer people not to do it so much, not just for the austerity reasons. No, they don't really think it's a good idea. But when they do it, what they do often is, I believe this is true, they'll buy lots of kind of semi-broken plates, like they've already got little cracks in them, and they'll have like 19 of those and then one real plate, and they'll kind of run the real plate along the slightly broken ones to make it look, this is real, and then they'll smash them all on the floor. So often one of them won't properly smash because that's the real plate and the other ones aren't really real.
Hang on, sorry, what qualifies a plate as real?
As in it's got like cracks, it's like a stunt plate.
You can still put food on it, presumably.
You can only put fake food on it, I'm afraid. Stunt food.
But apparently before they smash plates, they used to throw knives at the feet of dancers.
I'm going to have to move us on to the next fact. But if you have anything more, go for it.
Just one thing. Like, it's quite famous that Turing used to chain his teacup to a radiator.
Alan Turing,
yeah. So the great computer scientist, in Bletchley Park, he used to chain his cup to a radiator so that no one would steal it.
Not like to mess with his teacup or anything, like Alfred Hitchcock torturing his teacups. Okay, cool.
But everyone like thinks of this as a kind of a weird sort of way that he's quite eccentric. But a few years ago, they went round Bletchley Park and they were draining the lake to try and find some Enigma machines. And when they drained the lake, they found a load of cups in there. And apparently Turing's assistant used to just go around with his cup and then just wander around and throw it in the water. So actually, he was quite right to chain it to, because people just used to steal it all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe that's why Hitchcock did it, to prevent theft.
Okay, time for fact number three, and that is Andy.
My fact is, the Romanian equivalent of comparing apples and oranges is... you're comparing grandmothers and machine guns. Because those are much more different than apples and oranges are.
Yeah.
Apples and oranges are really similar. And there have been studies done on apples and oranges.
Well, to see how similar they are.
It turns
out. To try and tell the difference.
There was one study in the British Medical Journal in 2000. And it's kind of a joke study, but still. And he did this whole table of similarities and differences between apples and oranges.
Yeah. Both round?
Both round, yes.
Both fruit?
Yeah.
I can keep going.
No. So in the colour table, it says oranges, orange. Apples, depends on variety. Can be juiced. Oranges, yes. Apples, yes. And he goes through this whole list of similarities between them. Yeah.
Wow.
And they are really similar, it turns out.
And so why is it grandmas and grandmothers and
machines? I don't know. I think they've picked two very, very different things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They've just done better than we did.
Yeah.
Slightly more imaginative than we are.
Another thing they say in Romania is it's like comparing cows and long johns.
Yeah.
My favorite one when I was trying to find sort of interesting sayings, there's a Spanish proverb, and this is the Spanish proverb: there are no ugly 15-year-olds. I don't know in what context you would ever say, well, you
in
know,
prison, I
as
think.
They say. Well, Your Honour, I think the court and the jury will agree.
Wow.
Oh, children are attractive.
Do you want to hear some more Romanian phrases and guess what they mean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, please.
You take me out of the watermelons.
Is it like something you say to a lady who really kind of blows your mind?
It's yeah,
like,
you give me butterflies.
No, it's the opposite. It's you're making me really angry. Because obviously, where do we all want to be? Among the watermelons.
Yeah.
You take me out of the watermelons. Stop this.
That explains the problems I had in that Romanian nightclub.
My face has fallen off.
Is it literal, that one?
No. I'm surprised.
I'm so surprised.
I'm surprised. Yeah. And you've put snot in the beans.
Is that something you might say to Alfred Hitchcock?
It just means you've made a mistake. It's just a fun way of saying you've made a mistake. You put snot in the beans.
Yeah.
I have made a whip out of shit. Means I've done a lot with a little. I've made a really good effort considering I've got limited resources.
Like making a purse from a sow's ear, kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, I've made a purse from a sow's ear and a whip out of shit.
A whip isn't a spaceship. I mean, it's not the most complicated thing you could manufacture.
Okay, you try making a whip
in fact,
out of shit.
I have a friend who lived in South America who powered electrically his entire home out of a huge pile of manure in his back garden. And you're saying making a whip, squidging poo into something that could hit someone, is like turning something tiny into something fantastic. I would question the logic of that one.
All right.
They are quite illogical. In Germany, they say you have tomatoes on your eyes to mean you're not seeing what everyone else can see. But why tomatoes?
Wow.
It's always fruits and apples especially. So in Spanish, I think they say when you say you're going to walk around the block, in Spain you'd say, let's walk around the apple. Take a walk around the apple.
Wow.
I don't know why.
That's great.
It's weird.
In Colombia, to confuse two things, it's a bit like what we were saying before, but you would say, he confused shit with face cream.
Oh, that is a mistake.
It is a mistake, yeah.
Or one of Alfred Hitchcock's hilarious pranks.
And if you're talking about someone who hasn't really had to put in much effort to achieve what they've achieved, you say, he slid in on a shrimp sandwich. And that means he got here really easily. Which, actually, not that easy to slide on a shrimp sandwich,
I have such warped priorities about what's easy and what's hard. It's easy to slip on a shrimp sandwich. It's very hard to compress turds together to make a working whip. Indiana Jones's whip wasn't made of poo.
I think
we have very different skill sets.
Also, slipping is very different to sliding. So you can slip on it, but sliding in, that implies like you're skiing into the piece.
I will concede that skiing on a shrimp sandwich will be hard.
I think that would be quite difficult.
Are any of these actually said in these countries?
It's a weird one, that, because we occasionally do this kind of thing on QI, and when we ever say it, we'll say, okay, in Thailand, they say, the hen sees the snake's feet, and the snake sees the hen's boobs. And that means two people who know each other's secret. We'll say something like that on QI, and then everyone in Thailand will email us and say, no, we don't say that at all.
Yeah.
No. But I think it will be said, and I think it's just people... Yeah. Like, I haven't heard every phrase that gets used in Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
If there are people from Sweden or Spain or Germany who know that we're wrong, please do heckle.
So just like we were talking about grandmothers and
machine guns
right at the start. So maybe a few things about guns.
Yeah.
You know how old you have to be to get a firearms license in the UK?
Is it 12?
It's 14.
Okay.
Do you know how old you have to be to get a shotgun license?
No.
You have to be 2.
No way!
And the reason you have to be 2 is because an adult needs to sign for you saying they've known you for at least 2 years.
And I can confirm he is a fit and proper person to own a shotgun. What? Really?
That's so good, that, isn't it? Yeah. And there's loads
amazing.
Of people, like, under 10 in the UK who have shotgun licenses. But you can't buy a shotgun until you're a certain age, although an adult could buy you a shotgun.
Does anyone here have a shotgun license?
Oh, just that child on the front row.
How old are you? 19. So you've had it for 17 years. You must be very good.
The person who invented the first portable automatic machine gun was a guy called Hiram Maxim. He's kind of a bit famous. And he was arrested in old age. He also invented the traditional mouse trap that people use. Right. He was arrested in old age in 1913 for harassing Salvation Army workers with a pea shooter. But better that than the machine gun,
yeah,
I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I read a story about him, which was that when he invented the machine gun but was testing it out, in his neighborhood, he went to all his neighbors saying, sorry to bother, at 3 p.m. today or whatever time, he said, I'm going to be testing out my new machine gun. If you could open your windows, the noise is so great in this vicinity, it will smash all the glass in your house if the windows are shut. Could
that's
you keep
really
them
considerate.
Open? Yeah, he sounds like a nice guy.
I think he showed off the gun. There was an early demonstration of the machine gun, and he was, because it was Queen Victoria who was the queen at the time, and one of the things he did to demonstrate how cool it was he blasted with the machine gun the letters VR for Victoria Regina into a brick wall.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Would you trust a man who said, I'm going to be practicing with my machine gun this morning, could I ask that you open your windows for me?
I mean, it doesn't really make any difference whether you do or not.
We're going to have to move on.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So, time for our final fact, and that is James Harkin.
Okay, my fact this week is that replacement eyelids can be made from foreskins.
I told you they would groan. I told you. Wait, has this actually been done?
It's been done, yeah, it has been done. You might lose your eyelid you might get a disease, or it might be burned.
Someone might be practicing like with a machine gun next door.
Exactly, and then the problem is your eyelid is kind of really thin kind of skin, and so it's really hard to find replacement skin from around the body, and there are a few different places to get it, but the foreskin works particularly well, and people have had their eyelids replaced with foreskins.
Do they... What do they get to replace their foreskin? Do they get another foreskin from somewhere else?
No,
it's like a pyramid scheme of foreskins.
They do without...
If your foreskin is on your eyelid, are you circumcised, or does a foreskin have to be fully removed, or does it just have to be removed from its original position?
That's a very good question.
James? I feel like I'm going to let you down. I don't know the correct answer.
Well, you should reread the Torah, because it must be in there somewhere.
Just quickly, before we get into Foreskin Valley, if you don't have a... This is really, really cool. If you don't have... if your eyelids don't work, so the eyelid is there and it's intact, but it doesn't operate, the muscles don't work to move it, one way that doctors can fix it is they take gold thread. And because they use gold in the body because it doesn't react with anything, it's inert chemically. And it's the thread they use is 100 times thinner than a human hair. And they thread it through the eyelid, which gives it a bit of stability, and it stiffens it. And what that means is it's stiff enough to open and close the eye, but you have to do it by hand, so you just do this. You just put your hand up and then you go, yep, I'm awake, or whatever it is that you do. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
So you can wink at someone by just going...
It's amazing.
I love that. Yeah.
I read this thing, this isn't really related, but one of the early buttock augmentation surgeries, the guy who invented buttock augmentation basically took a breast silicone thing from a breast and just put it in someone's butt. That's basically the way he did it. But the problem was it didn't really look like a bottom.
Because he left
really
the nipple
work.
On. Is that what he did?
And so what they did instead is they managed to get something that was better sculpted and put it in between the gluteus maximus and I think the gluteus minimus. And so it actually looks a bit like a buttock. And this was the first proper real buttock augmentation surgery. But the problem was that it kept slipping. And so what you could do is someone would go, oh, your buttock slipped. And then you could actually lift it up and put it back in place.
Oh, my
but how
God.
Far down did it slip?
Did it slip out
of your trousers or something? Oh, sorry.
It could go quite far down the thigh, I think.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Interesting, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I wonder if you'd still say someone had a nice ass if it was just halfway down their calf.
I read about the first penis transplant the other day, which they've successfully done.
Have they?
Yeah, and they knew they could do it for a long time, and this guy wanted to have it done. The only issue was is that for 4 to 5 years, it was, I guess, to the tail end of 4 years, they couldn't find a donor.
That's very reasonable. Yeah. I heard that they used a middle finger once for a penis transplant. No, I've read this, and you're all looking, and I've got no evidence either. I've forgotten all the sources, and I read it 5 or 6 years ago. And anyway,
it's already quite bad when someone gives you the finger in the street, isn't it? If it was also attached to their groin, it would be 10 times worse. Let's say some stuff on eyelids to
eyelids.
Keep it clean,
yep.
Shall we? Pioneering French surgeon Ambroise Paré, if you had itching eyelids, he suggested washing your eyelids in urine, but only if the urine had been kept all night in a barber's basin.
Okay. It's very specific, isn't it?
Do you have to have the consent of the barber, presumably? You can't just wee in a barber's basin and then go in the next day. Oh, yeah, sir, I've been using basin 4. Hope you don't mind. My eyelids are itchy. Do you want to hear another really interesting body part replacement thing?
Yes, please.
This guy is great. Okay, there's a Finnish computer programmer. His name is Jerry Jalava. And in 2008, he lost a finger. He lost his third finger in a motorbike accident. So
he replaced it with his penis.
No. Oh, God. Yeah, his typing has not improved. Everyone was saying, oh, it's so annoying for you because you type for a living, don't you? Because you're a computer programmer, it's going to be really annoying for you. And he said, yes, it is going to be really annoying. And eventually he decided to do something about it. And he built himself a prosthetic finger. Not only that, it doubles up as a USB drive. So all he has to do, he just peels back his prosthetic fingernail, and he can just plug into a computer.
No one can ever just plug in a USB into a computer.
Okay, he turns upside down, and then and so he can store 2 gigabytes of data in his finger, and he can even remove the whole finger and give it to someone else if they need to store a file or something. How cool is that?
That's amazing. Yeah.
What a great guy.
Cool. I don't know if I'd accept that if you asked someone if they had a spare USB.
Oh yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Another on eyes, and replacement surgery. You know, in 2009, I think, was the first instance of this. A woman who'd been blind for 9 years had her eye replaced with her tooth. And she could see again.
What?
And so sometimes people are having surgery to get their cornea replaced with their tooth, and they they drill a hole in the tooth and they make a little lens in it, and then they have to implant it in a different part of your body because the lens needs to properly fuse, I think, with the tooth, first of all. So they implanted it in her shoulder for a while. This is her tooth. And then they can put it in the eye. If you Google image it, it's very weird, but there are people who've had their teeth in their eyes and they can see properly, and they just line it up with the retina, and it's people who've got corneal problems where it's gone blurry.
That's amazing.
Good
it's
grief.
So bizarre.
And you can pat someone on the shoulder and on the eye and on the tooth at the same time. That is so incredible.
I think that's the main benefit. That's what they say they're all pleased about.
We're going to have to wrap up soon, so James?
Just on what you were saying, you can get stem cells these days, can do all sorts of things. And there was a lady who kind of injected some stem cells into her wrinkles around her eyes because she wanted to get rid of the wrinkles, and it was hoped that it would grow back. And then suddenly, whenever she kind of winked her eyes, she heard this bony clicking. And it turned out that... Yeah. It turned out that a bone had grown in her eyelid.
Oh. Whoa!
Yeah. I know.
I've got some light entertaining stuff about foreskins if anyone wants it.
Oh, hang on. Eyelids, quickly, because I've always wanted to know this. You know that thing when your eyelid involuntarily twitches?
Yeah.
Like you have a twitching eyelid. So that's called blepharospasm or blepharospasm. And so it's usually fine and harmless. Some people have it so badly that their eyelids get locked shut. And a cure that was proposed for that in the late 1700s was by a Dr. Gerald. And he suggested
he certainly
that...
doesn't sound like a real doctor. If any doctor only gives you their first name, that's a real danger sign. Like Dr. Nick in The Simpsons.
So Dr. Jez advised that people who had this problem where their eyes were clamped shut because their blepharospasm was so bad, don't try and cure the spasm. Drill a hole in their eyelid so that they can see through it. I actually don't know if anyone had that done, but that's lateral thinking.
Well, I hope not. Also, Blepharospasm are playing on the Obelisk stage at 9 p.m. tonight, secret gig, so check them out. They're very good.
Foreskins? Okay. Humorous foreskins? Oh,
I've
no,
got what? Like, all right, there's a bit PG-13, but some cosmetics are tested on foreskins.
Oh, yeah.
But ones that have been removed. If someone is circumcised when they're born, the hospital normally sells the foreskin. There is a man out there who's been circumcised, and his cells have been used and grown and grown and grown and grown and grown to make an entire face cream company.
But here's the thing. There was a whole anti, because when people found out that foreskins were being used for cosmetics, there was a huge anti-foreskin movement that tried to stop it. And it turns out Oprah Winfrey has released foreskin products. Not for your foreskin, for your, like, foreskin face products. And they
That's
said...
That's a great product name. Foreskin. That's brilliant.
Yes. So obvious.
Yeah. But so that's the amazing thing about it. It's not as if they're carting off lots of foreskins to turn into face cream. It's one singular foreskin that they've been using for 20 years.
Well, they can, there are lots of foreskins, but yeah, you can use them for up to, yeah, I think 40 years.
Because the cell, it's just the cells in there are very unusual. They're like stem cells in that they can be grown and used in lots of different ways, and they're, they're incredible medically. Yeah,
it's insane. We're going to have to wrap up in a sec, so if anyone's got anything, a final fact they want to throw in?
Nope.
No? We're good? Okay, all right, that's it. That's all of our facts. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to get in contact with any of us about the things we've said on our podcast, we can be found on Twitter. I'm on @Tribaland, Andy.
At Andrew Hunter M.
James.
At Eggshaped.
Anna.
You can email podcast@qi.com.
Yeah, you go to nosuchthingasafish.com. We've got 70 episodes up there. Thank you so much for being here, guys. That was fun as hell. Come See you here. Later, guys.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.